the foyer or making your way in, what a great day to be in the house of God. How many have been to testify on a Wednesday night? Let me see your hands. Awesome, awesome. I got a few hands that are not up. I encourage you to come out to testify. And I want to share just a little bit of something with you. And I'm getting my announcements out of the way, even though half the people are still walking in the doors. But this Saturday is a health fair at the Senior Center. Free screenings. The hospital is involved with a lot of that. And so especially if you are challenged with your health care insurance, this is a great way to use the community as ways that you can find out some of those things that may be going on. So there's a lot of good information and things that are there. But I had this week the opportunity to be a part of what's called an intergovernmental retreat. And it is your city commissioners, your county commissioners, and your school board officials. This is the fifth year that they have gotten together and are working on how they can have common goals and common threads within our community. Y'all don't have any idea how big a deal that is. We have city and county and school board sitting in the same room. And it has taken, this is my third one that I've been a part of, and it has taken the entire time that I have been a part of it for them to get to the point that they are now being honest with how they feel. How many of you know, even at Eagles Way, sometimes it's difficult to be honest about how you feel, identifying some of those things. But not only are they being honest about how they feel and moving in a common direction, but they are feeling as though it's going to happen. So there's a positivity that's coming. So I just wanted you to be aware of what your community is doing and some good things that will come from that. And we're testifying of God's goodness and God's greatness. So be here on Wednesday night. This is First Wednesday. You may not have realized we met the other ones, but this is First Wednesday. Everybody knows we meet on First Wednesday. And we're still going to be testifying of the goodness of God. So stand and let's worship this morning.
There is nothing like the presence of God. There is nothing like His Spirit. The fact that anything can happen in His presence. Anything can happen in His presence. I encourage you this morning to enjoy His presence, to enter into it with all the thanksgiving. Enter into it with praise, knowing that His name is great. That all things are possible. We praise you, God, for who you are. We give you the highest praise today. We worship you. We glorify you, Father. We lift up your name this morning, and we worship and we praise and we honor you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If you're joining with us online, we welcome you wherever you are to enter into His presence. You can enter into His presence wherever you are this morning. We worship you, Father. Made me free. your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. And I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, there's nothing sweeter. Oh, there's nothing sweeter.
Thank you.
Gratitude this morning. Stir gratitude that we serve, that we walk in, that we are connected to a great, good Father. That nothing catches him ever by surprise. Nothing you encounter ever catches him off guard, but he is within you. He goes before you. And it's so good to sing his praise. Let me tell you, when you sing his praise, when you honor him, when you worship him, chains fall off. Anything can happen. Anything can happen when we worship. And I just speak over this house, over this room right now, that as we sing this next song and as we worship, whatever that thing is that is holding on to you, that it breaks free, that it releases from your life. Whatever that thing is, as you raise your hands in worship, as you raise your voices in worship, that thing falls off. It falls off. He's a good God. It is His joy to set us free. It is His joy to heal us. It is His joy to give us every good gift. And we worship Him this morning. We glorify You, Father. We honor You, Jesus.
Prayer to pray every day, right? A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. In other words, a love that erases all the lines that have been written in your life and over your life by yourself or maybe by other people that aren't the lines that he wrote. He said, let all the lines that have not been written by him and not been written by the Spirit, not been written by truth, let all the lies, let all the false concepts and images be erased. And let's see the truth. See the truth in ourselves. See the truth in other people. You know, this year our theme is just simply love. How many know that's just not simply? How many knows it takes strength to love? Love is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not something we try to just describe and define. It's something that we live out. Love is active. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love rejoiceth not in the this or that. It rejoices in truth. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Wow, that's what love does. Love is the most powerful force in the entire universe. Why don't you look at the person next to you and say, there's gold in you. as gold in you. I always ask the Lord to guide me when I'm looking for a book to read, or sometimes I'll just see a book's title and I'll just sense in my spirit whether I need to purchase that book. And so I got a library of a lot of books, and I just happened to walk by one the other week, and I pulled it out and hadn't read it in a long time, and I started reading it. And it had a phrase in that book called, and it said, mining the gold in other people. Mining the gold in other people. And it just went off in me big time. And I just started meditating about that and been meditating about it now for over a week. And so I'm going to share with you a principle today of mining the gold in others. When I read that, I thought, well, maybe I should title this Mining the Gold in Ourselves. But you're going to see that the day when you mine the gold in others, you mine the gold in you. You find your gold when you find the gold in other people. So, Father, today, open our hearts and our minds. Lord, let us receive today, Lord, this word. I pray, God, for I'll be able to share it with such passion and purpose and power that we will leave here with greater passion in our lives, greater power in our lives, and greater purpose in our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm excited about this message. I want to teach this morning. Can I teach this morning? All right. You know what's going to happen. Preacher's going to break out. But let me try to teach this, because it's burning inside of me. I love it when it burns inside of me. This mining the gold in others. There used to be a saying, and when the gold rush was happening, if you ever watch some old movies about the gold rush, they used to say, there's gold in them there hills. There's gold in them there hills. I want you to know there's gold in these hills here. There's gold in every person here. There's gold in those hills. Those hills represent a lot of mountains, a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And it doesn't matter where you're up or whether you're down, there's gold in there. You just got to find it. It doesn't, you know, I don't know when I read it and how I came to the understanding or whether or not it's even true. But years ago, I think I was reading in Ezekiel, and I believe that there's an understanding in Scripture that at one time when God created this earth and everything that's in it, that gold and silver and precious stones were just kind of strewn all over the place. You could see them everywhere. But after corruption happened and chaos happened, then the gold and the silver and the precious stones got buried beneath. And so they weren't that easily attainable. You had to search for them. The Bible says that God conceals, God conceals a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. God conceals it, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. How many know you've been made a kingdom of priests? You are kings and priests unto God. You know that, don't you? So God conceals some things, but it's the honor of a king to search it out. How many know when you search for something, the joy of finding it? You ever lost? I don't care if you just lost a key. How many just rejoice when you found the key? Or you lost your phone. You just rejoice when you found your phone. Or you know, it's gotten a whole lot easier to find things now. On my phone, I got an app. I know where Barbara is, Dusty is, my grandkids are. They can't hide from me. I know where you are all the time. Man, you feel like God when you're doing that, like Dusty said. Like, you just feel like, I know where you are. What were you doing there? I came home one time not long ago. Bobby said, what are you doing there? I said, what? I'm going to tell you what I was doing there. It was good. Once I was lost and now I'm found. Aren't you glad of that? Once you were lost and now you're found. One man said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know whether this man's good, he's bad, he's indifferent, or whatnot. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. How many know the testimonies of the Lord are true and righteous altogether? I got to get into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, say therefore. Every time you see the word therefore, you got to ask, what is it there for? There's a reason therefore is there. Therefore is there because of something that was said before therefore to make you understand what therefore is about to say. Did you get that? Therefore is there, so what was said before therefore was said, you may know what therefore was said after therefore, so you know therefore what is going to happen next. All right, let's read it. Therefore came because at the end of chapter 3, we don't have it up there, he says this, so all of us have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. What veil? The veil of condemnation, the veil of guilt, the veil that says you are not who God says you are, the veil that condemns has been removed. And now you can see clearly. Now. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Remember that song? All right. Therefore, since the veil has been removed, in his mercy he has given us this new way. We never give up. Look. Say, I never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news, say good news, we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ and who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For who God said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our power is from God and not from ourselves. Old King James says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency and the power might be of God and not of ourselves. But yet still, we have this treasure. We have this treasure. Say treasure. And we have this treasure inside of us. It just has to be mined out. Somebody's got to mine it. Okie dokie. That was you preaching good beer, and you started talking about working at it. Come on. It sounded good till you said, somebody's got to mine it out. Somebody's got to dig it out. Somebody's got to take the time to do some chiseling. Oh, no. Well, that's how you get gold. That's how you find treasure. Second Timothy said this. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and hay, wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. How many know there's special occasions in your life? Huh? We use paper plates about all the time. But every now and then somebody comes, we bring out the real stuff. We bring out the real plate. Sometimes. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean. You'll be ready for the master to use you in every good work. Man, I want the gold. Don't you want the gold? Don't you want the gold in your life? Don't you want it to surface, come to where everybody can see it? Lord, let that prayer be our prayer. Let others see you in me. When they look at me, let them see you. That's the treasure. That's the gold. Oh, you ready to get into it? That's just the introduction. Revelation. Chapter 21. The mysterious book. Man told me one time when I first got into the ministry, he said, don't read the book of Revelation. He literally did. He said, don't read the book of Revelation. He said, you won't. It's mysterious. And lo and behold, I read it, and he was right. He was 100% right. It's mysterious. It's difficult to understand. It's the most biblical book in the Bible. It's filled with symbols and signs. That it takes an understanding of a lot of other stuff to even break the crust sometimes of trying to get to what it says. Well, I want to read you a part of it that everybody loves. Matter of fact, most of Christendom is waiting for this one thing more than anything else there is. They can't wait to get to their mansion, their streets of gold. Wow, the walls of jasper. Whew. Used to be a song, Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Ain't no cabins in glory land. But what is it? What is this city? You ready to see what this city is? Now, first of all and foremost of all, let me just say this to preface what I'm about to say. I don't know if this is a literal city or not. I don't care. I don't serve God to walk on streets of gold. I don't serve God to go to heaven. That's a benefit. That's not why I do it. If that's the reason I did it, I would just wait till the end of my life. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I'd be fishing somewhere, playing golf somewhere. I'd be doing something other than what I'm doing right now if it was just all about heaven. It's about what we're doing right here. Right? I've heard about heaven this month for 68 years. I hadn't seen it yet. Hadn't got there yet. But in the spirit I have. Okay, in the spirit I have. And so, John said, Revelation 21:10, so he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. But I've left out verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the church. Whew. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. I will show you the bride. But to show you the bride, you can't see it from this level. I've got to take you to a high mountain where you see it from my perspective. You see it how I see it. And that high mountain is a mountain of faith. It's a mountain that you see things the way God sees things. Even things you can't see in the natural, you see, because faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And with this faith, I see this perfect, perfect fellowship of believers that's not distorted. There's no envy. There's no strife. There's no jealousy. It never needs restoration. It's this glorious, new, if you will, universe that God has brought to culmination, that everything is absolutely perfect. He took me and he showed me. It shone with the glory. The city was broad and high, 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on the gates. There were three gates on each side, the east, the north, the south, and the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held his hand a golden measuring stick to measure the city and its gates and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square, and wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick. I ain't going there with a wall. according to the human standards used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold. It's clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones, inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh carnelite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth, that's whatever, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. What a pearl. They don't have pearls that big. And the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is the light of it. Wow. What a city. Is that pretty or not? You ever heard anything described like that? You ever heard anything described like that? And yet he says in the beginning, I want to show you the wife of the Lamb. I want to show you the bride of Christ, of who she really is. I want to show you what is the most intimate, the most abiding love relationship, the most glorious, beautiful thing in the universe. I want to show you this church in perfection. Right now, for us, it's a principle. One day, it'll be a perfected church. Right now, in principle, we are going toward it. One day, it'll be perfect. And on the way to this city, there's another city in Revelation. It's called Babylon. It's the harlot city. There's the pure virgin of the church, and there's the harlot. There's always coming after us. There's a harlot that's after us to take from us the goodness of the bride, the pureness of the bride. She's a harlot, and she distorts the image of who you are and who God is. But John is getting the revelation of who God really is, so it won't be distorted, so we can open our eyes and open our arms and love like he loves and sees the way he sees and erase all the lines that's been written on people's lives. It's really not what God has written on their life, that we can be a miner and we can go and mine that gold. Get that gold out of people. See, I want to tell you something that I believe with all my heart. Peter said this, let's be good stewards of the gifts that we have because of this. Everything a man has received was given to him. Somebody mined that gold. When I hear this band play, I hear people sing, I hear Kitty play, I hear my grandchildren play. Billy, you mined that gold for a lot of years, didn't you? You got a lot of money invested in that gold. You see, he didn't learn. I had to take him to learn to play guitar. I had to sit outside and wait on him to come out. I had to take her to piano practice, and I had to go get her from piano practice. Somebody's got to mine that gold. There's also some people who's trying to steal that gold. Don't let nobody steal your gold. And the ones who are trying to steal your gold realize that God is working all things out for the good. I was counseling someone the other week, and they had a horrible daddy. Told me some things that daddy did, and I said, terrible daddy. And I said, thank God, don't judge him anymore. Thank God for your daddy. He said, what? How can I thank God for this daddy? I said, because he showed you exactly the daddy you don't want to be. He showed you the daddy you don't want to be. Joseph, brothers, flesh and bone brothers, going to kill him because they're jealous of him. beside the throne. Finally, they'd sold him to some Ishmaelites coming by. And then he goes to high office, and then he's lied about and thrown into a prison. But he goes on to a story, says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And the same Joseph that was sold by his brothers, put in the prison, liberated his brothers, and saved them in the end. Man, if we could just take on that attitude. Are you with me? Watch your attitude, even of your enemies. That's why I said, bless your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Why? Because in the end, it's going to all turn around and bring the gold. Bring the gold out of your life. I've been married 45 years. It had always been hunky-dory. Whatever hunky-dory is, I don't know. But it ain't always been that way. There have been ups and there's been downs. There have been times when she has been mine and my goal. And when she was mine and my goal, it hurt. She was digging into me, chiseling on me. We were going through some trials and testings, but the trying of your faith is what? More precious than what? If we could only see everything in our life that's going on is mining the gold that's in you. It's not for your bad. It's not for your harm. It's always for your good. Wow. There's a lady who would be sitting here today, right there next to Billy, who mined gold in my life, who today can't come to church. She's sitting at home struggling with a mine, struggling with day-to-day things that she always knew how to do and knew to do. But when I was a young man, she came to me and she said, do you mind if I come to your office maybe once a week and sit down with you? And I want to tell you, teach you how to pronounce certain words and phrases that it would just help you be a better communicator. And she sat for over a year in my office once a week, mining my gold mine. Mining the gold that she saw in me that could be made gold. And she mined it. And she said, I'll never embarrass you. I'm only here to help you. And I thank God often for Susan Woodward, who mined some gold in my life. Thank God somebody loved me enough to mine the gold. You see, that's what love does. Love mines the gold than other people. You know why fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, you know why they see the gold in their grandchildren? Because they love them so much. So all they're looking after is to mine that gold. They want to get that gold out of them. Want to get that gold out. Because it's there. It's in every. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that you can't see in the natural. You got to get on the high mountain of faith, and you got to see from the Spirit and see no longer anybody after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You got to see every individual on this planet, in your life, outside your life, in the Spirit. They're in God's likeness, in God's image. James said, you bless God and you turn around and you curse man who is made in the likeness of God. These things ought not to be. This ought not to be. He said, be kind to everyone, not just the ones that's kind to you. Whew. Sabir, you're getting ugly now. I like this gold stuff you're talking about. This is how it gets mine. It's a high mountain. In principle, we enjoy it now. One day it's going to be in perfection. One day it's never going to need to be restored. Wow, can you imagine a fellowship like that? relationships that are perfect. No pain, no hurt. Perfect. The numbers express the complete and the perfect result of the power of God operating in all of the universe and all of mankind. It's the church, it's the family of God, enjoying perfect fellowship. Its communion will be perfect in every direction. Can I jump ahead? No, I got to save it. Don't you pull on me. I'm not going to give it to you yet. I almost did. I almost gave you my punchline. I almost took you to the end. But I'm going to make you wait for it. I'm going to be like Jesus. The best is yet to come. It's light. It's the lamb that takes away the darkness of ignorance and misery and guilt and moral pollution in the world. It's a high wall of protection and security. It's not a literal wall. I said I wasn't going there, but I did anyway. It's not a literal wall. It's a wall. It's a spiritual wall. And once everybody gets in the spirit and gets in the place they need to be, we don't need walls around anything. We don't need walls there. We don't need walls here. You won't need walls. You won't have to lock your doors at night because everybody's going to walk around in perfect love. That's what's going to make this thing right, is that we just decide to love everybody. This new Jerusalem, this kingdom's coming down out of heaven. It's not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's not Libertarian. It's a theocracy. Well, I ain't preached like this in a while, but theocracy, it means God's ruling and that's it. He's the head of this thing. He's the ruler, and nobody's going to vote on it. We're not going to, 100 years from now, vote on if God's going to be God any longer. Well, you'll never go to a poll in heaven and go, I ain't going to vote on God today. No, you won't. Just like you're not going to vote on me here. This is, in case you don't know, this is not a democracy here. This is a theocracy. You don't vote here. I ain't said that in a long time either. It had 12 foundations. 12 foundations. And the foundations was the 12 apostles. The foundation was the testimony. Come on, David, help me pray. The foundation was the testimonies of 12 men who had spent time with Jesus for 3.5 years and heard him tell them things that nobody had ever heard before. See, what you have in the scriptures is only a minute part of what Jesus taught them. If everything that Jesus had said and done had been written, the world in itself would not contain the books. Whew. Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall and Jesus sitting around talking to those men, what he was saying? Goodness. Built on the testimonies of people. Oh, I'm getting it. That Pentecostal thing's about to get on me. I'm telling you, it's real. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They had a testimony. This whole thing called Christianity, called the church, is built on the testimonies of saints down through the ages. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you what God did for us. Let me tell you what God did for this. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you what God got me through. It's a testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Woo! By my God, David said, I've run through a troop. I've leaped over a wall. I've been young and now I'm old. Never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. He's always met my need. This thing's built on a testimony. Built on testimony. Where else I got? Got 12 gates. 12, three on each side. Why? Why is it 12 gates and three on each side? He don't want nobody to miss it. Oh, he don't want anybody to miss. You can't. I'm going to go to the east gate. There's three gates. I want to go to the west. There's three gates. I want to go to the south. There's three gates. I want to go to the north. There's three gates. You can't miss this thing. I want you to know, everybody is not going to be hard to find. It's going to be easy to see. Wow. On the gates are the 12 tribes of Israel, the redeemed church, the redeemed church, the true Israel. The Israel of God that Paul talked about. Not a circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the spirit. That church. That family. Mm. streets of gold. Nothing but truth. Nothing but truth. No distortion. Nothing but truth. No deception. Nothing but truth. Wow. We can walk in that city now, church, but you got to do it by faith. You got to do it by seeing me through the eyes of the Spirit, not through the eyes of the flesh. It's here now. It's imperfect, but not in the Spirit. It's perfect. I have to see it that way. I have to see it that way. Whew. I got to see it the way God sees it. Paul said it like this: from now on, see no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And go and be reconcilers and telling everybody, come back to God. Come back to your source. Come back to where you originated from. You're only here in the flesh by a natural means of a parent. But you're here in the Spirit because that's where you really came from. Ecclesiastes says, when you die, your body returns to the earth and your spirit returns to God who gave it. You always have been and always will be from Him. And one day, you go back to Him. Ask Ed Sheeran. You need to listen to Ed Sheeran's song. What's that song? What? Supermarket Flower. Even if you don't like Ed Sheeran, listen to it. Oh, prophet of God. A lot of prophets out there we don't know about. Garth Brooks, prophet of God. Prophet of God. Ed Sheeran, prophet. Listen to their songs. They're prophetic. Some of their songs are more prophetic. Never mind. All right, can I teach for a minute? How can I mine the gold? I'm going to give you a few pointers and we'll bring this ship in. Believe the best about people. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Believe the best about people. It takes maturity to do that. A woman was caught in adultery brought before Jesus. And Jesus didn't know what to do because they were coming right out of the law that she's to be stoned to death. And according to the law, that was true. There wasn't a new covenant yet. Aren't you glad there's a new covenant? Yes. We all be dead. None of us would be here today if there wasn't a new covenant. None of us would be here today if it wasn't a new covenant. We'd all be stoned sometime or another. As a child, I'd have been stoned. My mom and daddy would have taken me up before them and said they're rebellious. My brother would have made it past 10. Eddie would have been stoned to death way, way before if the new covenant had not come. You see, I learned how to be a good brother by watching my other brother. I really did. I saw how he treated me, and I knew that's not how a brother's supposed to be. So I have spent my life trying to teach him what a brother is like. And I didn't take it personally, his beatings. See, I come up in an age where older brothers just beat up younger brothers. I mean, that was life. Did that happen to you at all? Did you ever beat up Josh? Come on. Oh, I grew up, he beat me up. Beat me up. And so I grew up. I'm going to show you how to be a righteous brother. So Jesus is writing in the sand and something happens. From the oldest to the youngest, they change their perspective. Started with the oldest. He that's without sin cast the first stone. Oh, wow. I got a different perspective of this woman. I got a different perspective. I think I'll walk away because my perspective's changing. Focusing on others give you a purpose and a contentment, and you find your purpose in life when you focus on other people. Do you know that 84% of our thinking is about ourselves? It takes discipline to stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about other people. That takes discipline. It doesn't come natural. It's a discipline that has to happen. There's an old Chinese proverb I like this. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a month, get married. Like a month. That was a wise Chinese man, I'm telling you what. He was smart. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't say it's a Chinese proverb. If you want to be happy for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want to be happy for a lifetime, help others. Isn't that the truth? Use your freedom to serve other people. Use your freedom to serve other people. Paul said, don't use your freedom for nothing else but to serve one another. It's in Galatians chapter 5. When I read Revelation 21 this week, and I highlight and I underline, and I was underlining when it said about this city, its measurements. It measured the city. It was 1,400 miles height. It's 1,400 miles long. It was 1,400 miles wide. And then a scripture came to me in Ephesians, because that city is a city of love. I'm about to give you that point. You ready? That city is a city of love. It's a true city of love. Paul said to the church of Ephesus, I want you to know what is the breadth, what's the length, what's the depth, and what the height of the love of God is. I want you to know how wide it is. It embraces everybody. I want you to know how high it is. It reaches to the highest point. It reaches to the highest people. I want you to know how long it is. I want you to know how long will you go with somebody? I mean, I done gave them three chances, really. God gave you a million. God's given me a million chances. I don't know about you. That city is in its perfection. I love this, Ron. You ready? Has no depth. Doesn't reach down. There's no low people anymore. Everybody's on the same level. Everybody's on the same level. No big eyes and no little U's. It's all big eyes. Doesn't have to reach down anymore, because there's nothing to reach down and pick up anymore. It's all in perfect restoration and perfect love and perfect harmony and perfect peace and perfect union. Never again to be broken. Never again to be distorted. Never again. Never, ever again. And now, it's up to us to build this city now. We're doing it today. We're doing it right now. And what it takes now, one day, it won't take this. One day, forgiveness will be a thing of the past. You'll never know what it means to forgive anybody anything. You don't have to. Nobody's going to do you any harm. You'll never have to battle with bitterness, resentment, rejection, jealousy. You'll never have to do that. You'll never need to be restored again. Joy. Thank God for restoration, right? thank God for restoration, but there's coming a day when that's going to be a word of the past. But right now, it's not a word of the past. It's a very present, relevant word that we have to live by and go by. And so to keep this city of love, to I build a little bit and it gets torn down. I build a little bit and it gets torn down. I have to restore, 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 restore. That's why Paul went on to say, there's two things going on inside you. There's the flesh, and it's got a lot of bad stuff in it. That harlot city wants to rule over you, but it's all bad. But there's another city called the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, kindness and meekness and faith. And against such, there's no law that can control that. He says, that's how I want you to maintain this city. Maintain it out of love, joy and peace. Maintain it out of kindness, patience, self-control. Maintain it. There's going to be a time, you can stand with me, there's going to be a time I can almost guarantee you this week, not I almost could probably guarantee you today. I'd like to give you the benefit of the doubt and think you're going to last at least till Wednesday, but but somewhere between now and next Sunday morning, I can need somebody to mine some gold in my life. Because I'm going to look and go, I thought I saw some gold, but damn that, John Henry. Yeah. Thought I saw some gold in there, but I mean, where, something happened to it. Where did that loving grandson go? What? You can't go to the store with Gaga when you're sitting there playing your game yesterday? And I said, John Henry, you want to go with Gaga to the store? I don't want to go. Where's the gold? Where's the gold? I got to dig in there. And I'm just going to have to do something for him, I guess. You didn't hear that. I guess I'm going to have to do something for him to win him instead of getting mad. It's gold. Let's mine that gold. Now, don't mine gold that's not in there. Don't try to mine gold in your children that's not there. It's another message. His third year playing basketball. I don't think that gold's in jet. I don't know that we can mine that gold. I just don't. I think he prophesied it 3 years ago when he looked around at us. He says, I am absolutely horrible at this. And I just looked at him and said, you sure are. You sure are, buddy. I don't know. Maybe we can just speak it into existence. Maybe. We'll prophesy, we'll do that. We'll prophesy that maybe in existence. But there is other gold in him. And we see that gold. We start chiseling and mining that gold. It's gold in you. You're full of, you've got a treasure, your treasure chest. It's just hidden inside. You get that? It's there. The treasure chest is in you. It's just hidden inside you, and somebody's got to dig it out. So when you're going through life and you're going through trials and testings and difficulties, just know there's a mining process that's happening, and there's gold and silver and precious stones that's going to come out of that. How can he do that? I don't know, but he does it. How does he take the bad and bring out good? I don't know, but he does. does it? How does he take, give us beauty for our ashes? I don't know, but he does it. How does he take the most horrible, worst things that happened to me in my life and get gold out of it? I don't know, but he does it. I don't know. I wish I did. I'd do it. Oh, you didn't get that. All we have to do is by faith, keep digging. By faith, keep chiseling. By faith. By faith. And then one day, wow. Look at this. All the great artwork that we have in this world didn't come about by one stroke of the brush or one chisel. It took sometimes years for that masterpiece to come about. And you're a masterpiece that God's still working on. I'm a masterpiece that he's still working on. He's still working on. You ever seen a cross stitch? Next time you see a cross stitch, take it off the wall, turn it around, and look at the back. You can't tell anything by it. All you see is a bunch of chaotic threads. But those chaotic threads, turn it back around, made a beautiful picture. All things work together for good. Those that love God and are called according to his purpose. You're a cross stitch. Turn it over. Don't look like much. Look at the right way. Oh, I just look at the wrong way. Don't look like much. Look at the right way. Wow, how beautiful. Wrong way. Ooh, good white way. Wow, how beautiful. How beautiful. Elders, be coming. Oh, bow your head for a moment. You're here today and God has spoken to you that you need to mine the gold in other people's lives and let the gold be mined in your life. And you know you're in a mining process right now. Would you just raise your hand and say, I just need the patience. I need the endurance. I need the perseverance. God bless you. I need that. See, that's all you need. That's all you need. I'll say two things and the elders come to have communion. Two things. Patience is the antidote for irritation. Patience is the antidote for irritation. Paul said by faith and patience they inherited the promises. Faith, patience. They inherited the promises. Probably the greatest virtue and aspect that we need at all times in our life is patience. If I could just be patient, wow, I will inherit the promises. It's what Joseph did. Years and years of abuse, years and years of prison, but he never let the prison get inside him. He never let the prison get inside him. Don't let the things get inside you. Be patient. I promise it will work. He promises it'll work. It takes patience, though. I don't have patience. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You've got patience. We have to choose. I'm going to use it. But you have it. I have it. We all have it. It's a choice. Amen. Father, thank you for the patience that we're going to exhibit all this week. The fruit of your spirit. We choose that, not the works of the flesh. Choose to see from the mountain of faith. We choose to see the city of love, the church, the redeemed, the family of the living God throughout this world. We see it by faith in his name. exit to your left and just come around and you'll have the perfect flow. Chapter of Hebrews called the Heroes of Faith, talked about all the wonderful things that God did. And then the 12th chapter, verse 1, it says, seeing then that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, seeing then that we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, all of these testimonies of God's goodness, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Listen, despising the shame, but he endured the cross because he looked for the future. It doesn't mean what you're going through is not painful. It doesn't mean that you loathe even or despise. He despised what he was about to go through. But it was a joy that was set before him that he knew was going to come out of it. No, it's not good. But the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. He says, this is my body. It's broken for you. And then he took the cup and he says, this is the new covenant. Not governed by law, not governed by man's rules and regulations, but governed by the Spirit. This is the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant that has forgiven you past, present, and future sins, has made you righteous, pure, and holy before God at all times, that the gold is always there, shining within you.
Praise team coming. There they are. As they're making their way here, I want to remind you of a couple of things. One, this Saturday is the health fair at the Senior Center. Said that this morning when you first got here. But I'm reminding you again, lots of screenings, lots of testings, all free to you. So if you're healthcare coverage is challenged like a lot of people's are, it's a great opportunity. Also on Saturday night, you're going to spring forward 1 hour. Yes, it's that time of year. You're springing forward this Saturday. So mark your, you know, it's wonderful if you use your phone for your alarm clock, it never is a problem anymore. If you're doing old school and you've got an alarm clock, you got to set it forward. Okay? So make sure that you're marking that and doing that. The goodness of things. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, in bringing your tithes, your offerings, your alms to the storehouse here at Eagles Way. We are touching people's lives. I took a pan of homemade chicken pot pie the other day. We had taken it out for a funeral, and the family ended up not needing it for the funeral. It was one that had been made by the ladies for Rushton Hope. And it's all by the giving that you give. When you give to that alms, it costs us about $400 a month, $500 a month in alms to be able to feed 300 people on an annual or monthly basis. But it's your faithfulness that makes that happen. The offering buckets come by. There's a box in the back. You can drop your envelope there, or if you're giving online, thank you for that. Let's stand. Let's worship.
Done.